Caduceus Trust, a nonprofit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the unfoldment of life on Earth, part 3. The main inspiration for the dialogue of the show comes from the works of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And the following thought is from Alice Bailey as well. It must never be forgotten that evolution, as we understand it, is the story of the evolution of consciousness and not the story of the evolution of form. So often you've explored definitions of self-identity. Does consciousness have anything to do with an individual's self-definition?
I think it does, but it's a process that undergoes many changes as one lives and evolves spiritually. For a long time, I think people define themselves in terms of the roles that they play: mother, father, coworker, neighbor, friend, whatever. These are roles, but that in itself is a kind of a form that you inhabit, and it doesn't really express who you really are. The only true, complete, accurate expression of who you are is what is going on in your consciousness, I guess we could say, because whatever is present in our consciousness eventually works out, manifests through the outer aspects of our life. Our health, our happiness or unhappiness, our relationships are all reflections of the state of our consciousness. But we don't realize that for a very long time, because the nature of evolution is to start out with a concentration on the form level and then to progress to gradually more abstract, more transcendent states of being.
That's, yes, it's kind of a hard concept, I think, to maybe grasp at first, that what's really motivating what appears to be the changes taking place in the form world is something far more subjective. It really, the motivation originates by way of the soul, and the soul is what gives us consciousness. I don't know if psychologists today recognize that fact too much, but according to the Ageless Wisdom teachings, this is the way it is presented, and if one really thinks deeply about it, you begin to see the truth in this, that consciousness does result as the presence of the soul becomes more aware, the person becomes more aware in his or her life, and this is the soul in action.
The whole goal of evolution, according to Alice Bailey, is the attainment of consciousness on all levels of life, from the physical to the highest spiritual levels, to be aware, alert, awake on every level of life. And in the early stages of evolution, the concentration of attention is on the form level, but it works into a gradually more abstract consciousness, and it also progresses from a state of being kind of lost in the herd, we could say, one who doesn't really have a clear sense of himself, of the parameters of his identity. He's really just a unit within a larger tribe, you could say, a kind of tribal consciousness, from that, one progresses into a state of self-consciousness and becomes the individual, the one who stands alone, so to speak, and who thinks independently, sees himself as separate from all other selves. And his behavior follows accordingly, that it's a selfish way of living that seeks to support the well-being and the success of the separated self. From that, gradually through evolution and experience and often through pain, the consciousness merges into that of the group and eventually the whole, the state of consciousness that is universal consciousness, which is what we call God, is awareness of complete identification, there, so that nothing is outside the parameters of one's consciousness.
Yes, and we're really talking here about many, many lifetimes, hundreds, thousands of lifetimes that we go through this process. As you said, there is a unity, but it's a kind of a unity with total identification with the form life, whatever that form is. And then one gradually progresses to where we are today, in kind of the middle stage, where there is an awareness of a duality. And this is a difficult stage to go through, because on the one hand, we're so identified with the form world and everything to do with the form, our physical bodies and what we do in this physical world and the allure of the physical things. But on the other hand, there is this sense of something deep within, a spiritual nature, and this is the first inklings and awakening to the fact of the soul. And that presents a kind of duality that pulls one back and forth. It's a stage that is fraught with a lot of pain and suffering, because we go through all these painful experiences. But eventually we begin to evolve out of this stage and, as you say, into another unity, but it's a more synthetic unity. It's a unity with spirit.
It reminds me of that wonderful statement of the Buddha, who was asked by his followers, "What are you?" They sensed that there was something so extraordinary about his attainment, and they couldn't really identify what it was. And they asked him, "What are you?" And he said simply, "I am awake. I am one who woke up." He became conscious to the real significance and the real purpose of life. He did so, as I understand it from my level, that he transcended or escaped from the dualities, such as you're mentioning, from the pairs of opposites that define so much of our perception of the world. We see life and human beings and everything in the outer worlds in terms of opposites, and we are attracted to one or the other. We are pulled between them. We first aspire to this, then we want that, and it keeps us never satisfied, never completely at rest. That friction, which we've talked about before, is what drives the human being onward, but it still is responsible for the glamour and the misunderstanding that imprisons so many human beings. The Buddha escaped all that by penetrating in consciousness to that which lies beyond the opposites, the noble middle way, to which he pointed through his whole life and teaching. And the journey that all of us are on is to a discovery of that transcendent state of consciousness that unifies all the opposites, unifies all the dualities, incorporates all of the apparent separation and discordancy that we see in the world. It all, you could say, comes together at that state of triumphant consciousness.
And you may often wonder, I mean, the question comes up here, what is it all for? What are we trying to achieve here? Or what is trying to be worked out. And we have to realize that we are just being creating a way of patterns here that try to resemble that divine pattern that's in the mind of God. And this whole process has been set in motion by God when he created this planet, this world. And we have to kind of find what that pattern is and define it. And this is the job of the soul, to keep molding and shaping these physical personality life so that it begins to synchronize as best it can with the divine pattern as set forth in the mind of God.
There's an interesting progression of consciousness that's given us in the writings of Alice Bailey that begin with the consciousness that says simply, I am. I am alive. I am. I exist. Most of us are familiar with that state of consciousness. We know ourselves to be individuals who are alive. But that state of consciousness progresses, she says, into the state of awareness that says, I am that, and that am I. I am more than my present circumstances, more than my present personality or the self that distinguishes me from other selves can express. There is a growing sense in such a person who's awakening spiritually that his basic persona is not the sum total of who he really is. He can't really gain access to this state of awareness that he knows is part of his self, of his being, but he senses its presence and strives toward it in meditation and prayer and in spiritual aspiration. I am that, and that am I. And it culminates, this journey in consciousness, we're told, with the statement that God made in the Bible, in the Old Testament, I am that I am. One could spend eons pondering on what God meant by those words, I am that I am, but it touches on, I think in some way, the fact that the world and everything within it was created by God as a means of expressing the totality of his consciousness. And that suggests that every atom of life on earth is an expression of consciousness on some level. And science, I think, is gradually beginning to validate that. There is a very low level of consciousness compared to the saint that is expressing through, say, a stone pebble. But there is a level of consciousness vibrating within even the simplest structures. And so you could say the whole universe is alive and the whole universe is conscious on its own level. And all of this together expresses the consciousness of the one we call God.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, The Unfoldment of Life on Earth, Part 3. And we have a special offer for you today from Lucis Publishing Company, Esoteric Psychology. These, by the way, are two of the works of Alice Bailey. She wrote 24 volumes of literature. But Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, are available as a set today for $41. So you can send a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. The reason why I call it a special offer is that ordinarily we charge shipping and handling. And if you mention Inner Sight, then you'll get this discount. The discount comes in the form of free shipping handling. Once again, you, in your note, ask for Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, available as a set for $41. And you'll get the discount that comes in the form of shipping, free shipping and handling, if you mention that you heard this offer on the show, Inner Sight. So send check or money order to Lucis, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, a lot of people ask for general packages of information, and it is filled with the material about Lucis Trust. I guess probably the most frequently asked question is Lucis Trust a religion? No, it really isn't. It's a It's a spiritual philosophy organization, and it explores many different venues of spiritual philosophy. However, if you do want the general package of information, contact us at 1-866, that's a toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866, think of New York, LUCIS. You can also key into our whole library of archived shows, our website. In order to do that, you'd have to key into our website, which is www.lucistrust.org. Once again, that's www.lucistrust.org. And also, we appreciate your continued support in the form of donations. That's what keeps us on the air. We really appreciate the support you've given us in the past. And if you'd like to continue making donations to keep us on radio, send your donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust. You know, I've been listening to both of you talk about consciousness. Would it be fair to say that we are, or maybe in seeking a self-definition, that we are seeds of embodied consciousness? Would that be a fair way to say who we are exactly?
Seeds of embodied consciousness. Yes, I think so. It, to me, that carries a kind of meaningful depiction of what's working out through life on Earth. If you then apply that to everything that exists on all planes, everything is a seed of embodied consciousness. In the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, and the mineral kingdom, they are all seeds of embodied consciousness. And to me, that gives a sense of the radiance and the beauty of our planetary life, that it isn't a beauty that's confined just to the human kingdom or the divine kingdom, but that every aspect of life on Earth is vibrating and pulsating with purposeful awakening consciousness. And that leads to a point that Alice Bailey makes that is quite astonishing about evolution and the changing forms that have to respond to the growing evolution. Because as we said, evolution concerns consciousness far more than form. The form, the body, the embodiment of that consciousness is secondary in significance. We think the body, our own bodies, are so precious and so important, and they are because we live in them as we occupy a place on Earth. But they are only secondary to the soul, and probably far less than that to divine spirit. So in God's plan, Alice Bailey says, forms are steadily transmuting, transforming themselves, being discarded, becoming ever more refined. And she makes a point about the incoming energies of the new age that's very interesting. We've talked in the past about ray energies. And perhaps some of our listeners remember that we've said a new ray is coming in that will define the new age in a quite different way than the past age has been defined. It's called the seventh ray, and it's going to produce more refined forms, and there are consequences of that.
And I think we're seeing the results of this already. The seventh ray is called the ray of ceremonial order and organization. And there is a great reordering taking place in the world among the nations, among people. People are reordering themselves and rearranging themselves all over the earth. And there is a great movement of people. And
literally in the form of refugees.
Right, exactly. And they are being moved by one reason or another. It's a matter of consciousness and the dissatisfaction with their lives, wherever that may be, and many of them by the millions are moving to a new place, and there is a new order among the nations that is growing, and there is a new qualities that are being and new relationships that are being established, and this is all part of that seventh ray energy, because it helps to condition The word conditioning is also important here because it's the energies of the rays and the energies of the very material substance that we're made of that already condition the activity of the soul. The soul has to work with the substance, you know, like a sculptor. It works with this piece of marble, and he's limited by what the marble already is. So whatever he has to work with, it's the same with the soul having to work with the substance of our very bodies. Sometimes it's more refined, sometimes it isn't.
And sometimes they're less dense, and some bodies are more dense. I often wonder about my soul working with my dense brain and mind and my calcified reactivity. And
it's a tremendous limitation imposed upon the on the soul's abilities.
Thick as a plank is an expression that comes to mind.
Thick as a plank, yeah.
I like that one.
And then other people are so alive and so alert, and there's a refinement about them. And you know, they have, those kind of individuals have been at this process a little bit longer than some of the rest of us, perhaps.
I don't know if that can be uniformly applied, though, because sometimes people will astonish you in the discordancy between what might be a very dense physical appearance, a kind of an earthy solidity that they emanate, and yet within that solidified, dense physical body is a spirit that is very spiritual and refined. Sometimes we find a kind of a discrepancy, and I think we see that in the natural world in, say, an animal like the elephant. The elephant is supposed to be highly evolved, and in fact, they are finding that elephants communicate with each other through a low vibratory murmuring. They know that they grieve when one of their group dies. Mm. They go through a process of grieving. They're very group-oriented, very protective. They're quite refined, and the writings of the Ages of Wisdom confirm this. And yet, you look at the elephant's body, it's dense, heavy, huge, cumbersome. Mm-hmm. And you wonder about the spirit that incarnates through the elephant species, whether that soul wouldn't prefer a more refined form.
Well, of course, it isn't an individual form, a soul, like individualized soul. It's a group soul works through the animal kingdom. And that's, by the time it reaches the human stage, it's more individualized. It is individualized. So that's why we get the ability to think of ourselves as the I self. But I think this is, I was thinking while you were talking, that this is something that scientists are going to have to look at in a different way. They're going to have to, because the approach now is to see evolution from the physical side.
And to grieve over the departing of some of these species, such as elephants and manatees and hippopotamuses and rhinoceros, all the dense, heavy bodies.
Your mention of the elephant reminds me of a little anecdote in Plutarch's Lives of the 12 Caesars, where an elephant was in the Colosseum, and he had more or less defeated the gladiator, but he ran up to one of the Caesars, and he put his front hooves up on the wall, almost like pleading for mercy. And that takes a measure of intelligence and sensitivity to want to do that.
Yeah.
Right, and there is a soul at work there, a soul quality at work in a lot of the animals, especially the domestic animals and dogs and horses. We can see that, and they're almost human. They're ready to make a transfer into the human stage.
Well, they're certainly capable of relationships with humans, and that's what makes them, according to the Ageless Wisdom, very high on the evolutionary scale in the animal kingdom.
But, yes, and I'm just getting back to what I was saying about the scientists are going to have to kind of turn around the whole concept of evolution and look at it from the inner side of material substance, of material forms, whether it be a human being or an animal or a fish or a flower and see that there is a life and a consciousness working out and motivating these changes, creating these changes in this physical world.
And sometimes it's part of the plan and the natural thrust of evolution that certain forms fade away, go out of incarnation. We don't want to use that as an excuse for the way man has plundered the earth, or, for example, the way he decimated the herds of buffalo in the last century, or the way growing urbanization is driving out so many species. That is no excuse for the selfishness of man in his relationship to other kingdoms. But there is a natural ebb and flow in the animal and vegetable world that is part of the plan. How do we know the difference? I don't know. And it doesn't mean that we have to cooperate and hurry it along, but that we simply should understand it. Alice Bailey made the point that when a new energy comes in, like now, it's both a building energy and a destroying energy. That's part of its nature. So things are being eliminated on the level of form that might need to go.
They're not so efficient. The bodies are not so efficient and refined as is being required by the thrust of evolution. Evolution is leading towards a specific goal, and that goal is way ahead, quite of advanced of where we are now, but it has to do with the radiation of consciousness by through the form.
And I think we see it in the human species too, the growing concern with nutrition, with athletics, with diet. We're probably building ourselves more refined forms that live longer and serve the soul's purpose much better than they used to. It's all part of the plan.
Absolutely.
But there's going to come a point when we have to relinquish our form because it no longer serves the soul, and we should do so joyously.
Is Alice Bailey saying that that there is a divinity in everything?
Yes.
A special offer from Lucis Publishing Company once again, and it's two of Alice Bailey's books, Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, available as a set for $41. Send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Free shipping and handling if you mention Inner Sight. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.